You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Detroit basketball! What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, March the 23rd, and trade rumor season continues. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well.
And I'm Brother Brian, and did all this Pistons knowledge just become useless?
This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our Locked On Rooms. Locker Room, changing the way we talk about sports. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. It is trade season, so we're going to break down. We're basically culling James Edwards' article from The Athletic today, breaking it down so you don't have to buy that Athletic subscription. But as you know, in another week or so, you're going to have to buy that subscription to The Athletic, as your boy won't be here for your daily recap of what's going on theathletic.com. Also got the other rumors that came out on Monday, a kind of a furious morning for Pistons rumors. Nothing, as we tape this early Tuesday morning here, going on in Pistons land of note. And then also, Brother Brian's going to have some details on Wednesday night's game between the Pistons and the Indiana Pacers. Yes, they're still going to play basketball this week, despite the trade being the big discussion of topics here on shows like this and across the NBA as well. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. Give Brother Brian a follow as well at bshook12 on Twitter and the Play Michigan Twitter account, play_Michigan. Brother Brian, what's happening, my man?
Man, this weather has got me wanting to be outside, back to the driving range, tightening up that game. We'll have some more time on our hands now, so maybe that happens. But yeah. Spring has sprung. March is madness, and I don't know. All's right with the world right now, I guess.
Yeah, Michigan gets the win on Monday night as well, heading to the Sweet 16. Everyone's excited about that, too. So some good news for in-state basketball fans. You mentioned it here, the announcement from Monday in the end of the show that I made, that March 31st, next week, will be the final episode that I'm in – piloting the show here. April Fools. That's not really. No, I'm just kidding. That actually is true. And I am going to be stepping down. But I guess that is April 1st that would be. So that would have been fun. You love those, right? The April Fool's Day jokes. But Brian, this is your first time coming on. And we'll, you and I will have Fridays with Brian. We'll have you on again next week, too. But, just want to say thank you, first of all, to you for stepping in. This last year of shows would not have happened if it weren't for you. I would have keeled over, and it just wouldn't have been the case. But so, you know, like you said, there's a lot of Pistons knowledge with you. There's some of it still with me that I haven't regurgitated over the past 3.5 years in the microphone. So I think you won't be getting rid of us completely. I don't know exactly what I mean by that, but at least on Twitter, we'll be opining all of our thoughts out there. But yeah, you're not going to completely get rid of us in some way or another.
Yeah, you'll be able to find us whether you like it or not. We'll still be in your face, I'm sure. I appreciate the opportunity. I had a blast. This has been fun. To all the listeners out there, all the people that we've conversed with me on Twitter, had a great time doing that. I'll still be doing it for my private account for most of the Piston games. There may be some Piston games I do miss from here
sure,
on out,
yeah,
possibly.
We'll take a night off every now
but
and then.
I'm still a fan. I'll still be there. Like you said, @bshook12 on Twitter. If you want to follow me or if you enjoy my random quarterly scoring updates and betting odds updates, just follow me there. But yeah, we'll still be around. We'll see what's next. It's an exciting time, an exciting rebirth for you.
Yeah, and I will share this with everyone too. I've heard from multiple parties that are interested in possibly taking over the podcast, and I don't know who it's going to be. I'm just going to present the information to the powers that be. I will let you know if I know who that will be before the time comes. But you know, you can find out who it's going to be. And I'll tell you this: it's going to be fine. You guys are going to be fine. The show is going to be fine. It's going to go well. And whoever they choose, and I don't have that choice. So I just want to clear the air about that as well. But and just thanks so much. And again, we'll do a whole. Brian's going to do sing Bette Midler to me. Yeah. I think at some point we're going to probably. Yep. Yes, we're probably going to do an interpretive dance at some point. So we got a lot of fireworks for next week. That should be good. But just wanted to throw the news out there a little bit too. But it's a good thing. It's just a lot of work, and I'm sure you guys can appreciate that. But you're not going to get rid of us. But anyway, more important things to talk about today, and that is the trade deadline coming up on Thursday of this week. Rumors are flying around. Big, huge deal between the Clippers and the Kings tonight with Cabangele in cash for – something. I don't know.
Yeah, I wanted to do that. I was waiting to hear you say that name. I just watched it on Twitter and was like, oh boy.
Yeah, the Florida State Center. I don't know. I'm not going to get the first name, but Cabangele, I liked him going into last year's draft, but good times. He's now fodder for trade salary matching, as most late first round picks and early second round picks are. Something to keep in mind as we sometimes myself and others, there's like the fine line on these second round picks, right? They're in one sense, of course, you want to have them. You can talk yourself into the Jordan Bones of the world and then the Saban Lees of the world. We'll see what Saban looks like a couple years from now. Very positive start to his career. But he could be out of the league in 3 years. It's a second-round pick. You know, who knows? And that didn't mean to slight Saban there, but there's kind of the same situation with Jordan Bone where there was a faction of the fan base that was really excited about him, and then he just kind of falls off the face of the earth, and that's second-round picks for you. So I bring that up because not only do I want to say Cabangele's name here on the podcast, but Wayne Ellington is drawing attention. The Pistons want a second-round pick, according to James Edwards, friend of the show of The Athletic, and that they – That's kind of the goal, and obviously you'd rather kick that second than give him the buyout, which is likely what would be the scenario if he doesn't get traded, just to kind of do a solid by him and see if he can go play in playoff games. And then you got the Markieff Morris situation that was, if it's protected and it's in the late it's in the 50s, why even bother? But maybe if it's a couple years down the road, maybe you could get something out of it. So as James is reporting, Wayne Ellington is the surest bet to be traded in these next couple days, and we'll just see. So, I mean, it's boring, it's vanilla, but that's kind of where we're at in terms of what we're expecting for Thursday as of right now.
And they've been prepping for that. He hasn't played in, you know, since the second half, I believe, right? Has he played in a game since they got back from the break?
Positive, I don't think something like that.
But, you know, it's certainly been, he's been out for quite a while now, so they've obviously been prepping for this. And the accumulation of second round picks, you would assume are, you know, at some point become pot sweeteners, or you couple those to maybe move up into the first. Because if you're talking about, you know, if you get another second round pick for Ellington, you're talking, you know, if it's this year, it's what, four then in the second round, and then, mm-hmm. you know, or following years, you know, you only have so many roster spots. And if you're going to tell me that you're going to have a first round, four second rounders, and then $40 million to spend the offseason after that with a whole nother load of picks coming in, you're not going to tell me that there's going to be nine new faces on this roster in 3 years. I don't think that that's the case, or that's what they're building. Obviously, with some of the news that kind of got leaked as to some of the phone calls that Troy Weaver's gotten, that he does hold at least one or two of these players in very high regard and is looking to cash those chips in yet. So, you know, I see what, you know, I like the accumulation of draft capital, but at some point, you've got to turn that draft capital into actual people who are on the court dribbling and shooting a basketball.
Yeah, we'll talk about some of those offers in a little bit here. But one thing that James talked about is he threw out a couple of trade scenarios. I won't give away the trade scenarios. You got to get the Athletic subscription for that one. I liked all three of the trades that he threw out there. But all three of them included acquiring 2 of them included acquiring 2022 second round picks. So that makes a lot of sense. As you mentioned, you got two second round picks for next year. You don't have any for 2022, and there are more seasons down the line. 2023, you go on and on and on. They just don't have any second round picks. Now, again, not the biggest deal in the world each individual year, but when you talk about 5 or 6 straight years where you don't have one, that could become an issue. So I would anticipate that the Pistons are trying to get future second round picks, not necessarily 2021. And that's my prediction. If I had to make a bold call, the Pistons some way, somehow get a second round pick, and it's one that is not for this coming season, and we'll see how that all shakes down. They're easily gettable, but you'd like to have a base of some as you look ahead to the future. Just a couple other quick notes from James. This has kind of been out there, but the Jeremy Grant, not just the Celtics he's talking, he says several teams around the league have inquired about him, and also reporting that, quote-unquote, multiple first-round picks. Of course, that's kind of the rumor we've heard about with Boston, a couple of their first-round picks that are presumably in the 20s, and it's nice that the Pistons are not signing a guy to a three-year deal for big money and then turning him and trying to flip him. Now, of course, the price gets to some point where you probably do that and say, you know, the loyalty be damned, and we got to do what's best for the franchise. But and along those lines also, the rookie class, Sadiq Bey and Isaiah Stewart in particular, drawing interest. Teams have inquired about Sadiq Bey and Isaiah Stewart, according to James Edwards, and that Detroit sees all four of its rookies as its focal points of the retool. Sekou, no real news there, other than just kind of some hypotheticals about how he's viewed by Troy Weaver. We don't know how that is. I would imagine that the value is pretty low for Sekou right now. So if you want to cut bait and if you want to get something for him right now, or juice up Ellington for a better draft return or something like that, you could see that happening. But nothing reported, nothing specific teams that are asking. I got to believe there's a GM or two out there that would still like to roll the dice on a 20-year-old. We'll see if that comes down. And then DeLon Wright and Mason Plumlee, as you would expect. It sounds like opposing playoff contending teams, according to James, have inquired about both Wright and Plumlee, one of them being Plumlee with the Brooklyn Nets. So nothing new really there, but just kind of reinforcing what we figure, that playoff teams might be interested in Plumlee and or Wright coming off the bench, and that the Pistons have to make a value decision there. How valuable are these guys for you the rest of the season? And two more seasons on the contract for Plumlee, one more season for Wright. You got young point guards. It would be nice to have a veteran point guard with that group, although it would be nice to have that playing time available for the rest of the season too, because you do want to lose. Mason Plumlee, what's the value? Do you view Isaiah Stewart getting more minutes the next couple seasons as more important than holding on to Mason Plumlee's leadership? And, of course, what you get in return for him is probably the most important part of that equation. So a lot to digest there. But, Brian, if I had to throw you on the spot right now, Wayne Ellington excluded. So of those players we talked about, or somebody else, Jeremy Grant, Sadiq Bey, Isaiah Stewart, Sekou, DeLon Wright, Mason Plumlee, which one do you expect that has the most chance of not being on this Pistons team next week out of those guys?
The compelling name out of that group that there's, I think, a little bit of drama in a couple of different ways is Sekou. I think, you know, the value for him right now is all subjective, and you are talking about, you know, obviously the player he can become, not the player he is. And you're right, probably individually the trade value for him is a little lower than you'd want, and what you'd get in return would probably be disappointing, you know, to Pistons fans, specifically the Sekou stands, obviously. But he's the name that I think he could be best used, as you would kind of reference, as a pot sweetener for Ellington. You know, maybe that turns a second rounder into a late first rounder, potentially, if you find the right marriage for somebody who's higher on Sekou. And you don't know, because he is the only remaining player from the pre-Troy Weaver era. So, you know, all signs point to him being expendable, especially if you look at the minutes this whole season, basically, have been so inconsistent. So has the play. So, you know, you're running the risk right now of holding on to Sekou until he has no value left at all, or, you know, cutting bait right now if you think that you can get something for him or throw him into a deal to maybe consolidate some lesser draft capital into some better draft capital.
And there are some rumors the Pistons are tied to a couple of names that are very interesting, but Troy Weaver also showing his value that he believes in some of the guys he's picked up as well, and we're going to talk about that next on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But first, this episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Locker Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. The Locker Room, it's the perfect place to start or join conversations about the league. You'll find fans just like you on Locker Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and, of course, reacting to big news or rumors, this is the perfect week to jump on Locker Room. You can even find Locked On hosts across the NBA, MLB, and NHL as well. And hey, you know, maybe I'll join on the app soon, and that's where you can find me going forward. So be sure to get started, and I'll meet you there, maybe down the road. Go download the free Locker Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the MLB, NHL, or NFL group for the latest league updates. I know you will find a ton of incredible rooms around your favorite teams and leagues. I can't wait to join you all on the app. I'll be sure to let you know once the Locked On Pistons room is live, or maybe we'll have details from another party about that in the future. Download the Locker Room app today. Locker Room, changing the way we talk about sports. RockAuto.com, it's a family business. It's serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They got everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet for your ride. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand specifications and the prices that you prefer. Best of all, it's those prices at RockAuto.com. They're always reliably low, and the same for the pros as the do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
Yes, sir!
Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on all the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcast. Brother Brian joining us as he often does for this early Tuesday morning. We're past the midnight hour today as we tape this. But I just want to give a plug. We do these reads, and you know that there's ad copy and all that stuff. But the Locked On Podcast Network is a great network. You guys should check around all the shows as well as you're looking to add to your podcast diet. The Locked On NBA Draft guys are doing great. Chad Ford, of course, Hollinger and Duncan. I mean, these are legit shows that have helped me out, and I've been proud to be part of the network. Also want to point out, later on in the show, we are going to talk about the Wednesday night Indiana game for the Pistons and the Pacers. The reason we're doing that is there just we don't know right now. There may be a show Wednesday. There may not be a show Wednesday. There will certainly be a Thursday show heading into the trade deadline. If there's news to talk about, we'll find a way to get something up for you guys on Wednesday. But just to be determined on a Wednesday show or not. But either way, we'll certainly be back Thursday for that. But going around the league, as we approach Thursday's trade deadline, one of the biggest weeks for podcasts like us, although according to James and according to everyone you kind of hear about, the Pistons might be pretty quiet these next couple days just because of the nature of the roster turnover, and presumably these are all guys that Troy Weaver likes. And it sounds like he put his money where his mouth is recently in regards to a phone call that he received from the Sacramento Kings as they made an enticing offer to one Troy Weaver.
Well, that's absolutely right. With Sadiq Bey, you know, he has that big Deke energy. Now he can walk into the next room he goes into with the Pistons with bigger Deke energy, if that's true.
Absolutely.
It, you know, with turning down a guy who's in his third year in the NBA. I mean, he missed a lot of time last year. But, you know, a guy who's averaged 14, 15 points a game, 7-8 rebounds for a couple years now. And to get that phone call for the 19th pick in the draft and to turn that down has got to be a big pat on the back for Sadiq, a good ego boost for him going into the rest of the season and then into the offseason. And just, you know, this is what good organizations do to empower their players and show that, you know, how valuable the guys are to the team. And you know, I can't think of anything better or a better flex than Troy Weaver could have done to have taken this phone call, said no to this offer, and then probably leak it out that he said no to this offer so that everybody heard it as well. Because I'm much more excited with the prospect of what Sadiq Bey can become than what we probably know what Marvin Bagley is. So I think it was a smart move by Troy Weaver not to send Sadiq off for just the one Bagley piece coming back. But at the same time, I think it's going to pay off tenfold down the road with what it does for Sadiq Bey's confidence, with what it does for the other players on the team to see that, hey, you know, even though we're in a rebuild, he's not just going to take any little bit of value he can for us, that we are important, and the hard work that the team and the guys are putting in is showing and appreciated by the organization.
Yeah, Chris Haynes of Yahoo Sports reporting that the Pistons turned down a straight-up offer of Marvin Bagley III from the Sacramento Kings for Sadiq Bey. And like Brian said, I'll echo all those thoughts. A nice flex for Sadiq Bey. Now, what Weaver should do, I think, is go around to all the other teams that picked in the top five in the 2018 draft and go, hey, we got offered number two. So I would imagine that means that like guys like DeAndre Ayton at number one, Luka Doncic at number three, Jaren Jackson at four, and Trae Young at five, those guys should all be available if Marvin Bagley was available. So maybe parlay that into a different conversation going forward. But, yeah, it sounds like Bagley has got the father situation there. It's Sacramento, so it's a complete circus, a dumpster fire, whatever derogatory term you want to use about an NBA franchise, you can use it on Sacramento. It continues to be a shit show, I guess, over there in Sacramento. And now they're already kind of admitting the mistake that everyone knew that they made at number two in the 2018 draft. I was one of the people that said, Luka Doncic, you got to take him over him. And I think Jaren Jackson and Trae Young, the limitations are there. Marvin Bagley, fine player, no doubt about it. It's going to have a long career here in the NBA. But for Sadiq Bey to be of a higher value, according to Troy Weaver, and according to most people, it's not like Troy Weaver's making it what is an unpopular move, but it's a nice flex that your number 19 pick is more valuable than the second pick from a couple years back in what was a very good top-heavy draft as well. So, yes, good stuff from Troy Weaver there. The other name that was interesting that was in the report is that it seems like the Pistons are one of the teams, quote-unquote, lurking around. Well, they didn't use the quotes this time like they did the other day for Victor Oladipo. But the Jared Allen of the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Pistons might have some interest there. I'm trying to wrap my head around, like, who leaks this and why? Is it that the Cavs have some interesting offers for him and that they're trying to juice the market a little bit? We know that Andre Drummond's probably not going to be on the Cavs as of next week, some way, somehow. Kevin Love certainly isn't the center of the future for the Cleveland Cavaliers. So I just can't figure out what this is all about. I like Jared Allen. If there was a way for the Pistons to acquire him without giving up bigs and Isaiah Stewart, maybe the future is at four a little bit more than we previously thought because he played some of there the other night against Chicago. What do you make of the Jared Allen situation and some of those rumors?
This has got Cleveland leaking it, you know, to increase the value potentially for Jared Allen all over it, as far as I'm concerned. Again, I like Jared Allen, and if the price is right, adding him to the roster would be a good thing, but I'm not exactly sure how that matches up, and I'd have to see exactly what the deal is before I gave that a final grade. But the Pistons were the most active team on draft night, the most active team in free agency, so I think that there are some teams out there, Atlanta potentially included, that may leak things that include the Detroit Pistons, because why not? It seems like they're going to be the most active. So if other teams think that the Pistons are involved, then they may have to, you know, maybe they're a little bit more under the gun and have to pull a trigger on something, because they know the brief history we have with Troy Weaver is he's not scared to make moves. So I expect the Pistons to kind of be linked to quite a few players here this week that, you know, I'm not saying that it won't be true, but I'll take it with a grain of salt, because they're certainly right now the franchise that most teams are going to turn to, you know, try to up the value of some of their players, because if the Pistons are involved, then, you know, there's a better chance that a move's going to be made because of how aggressive Troy Weaver's shown he is.
Yeah, Troy Weaver is the huge wild card into this whole thing, because we know how aggressive he was at the start of training camp or start of free agency, but we also know that he's brought in all these guys. So you could go with both sides of that and say, well, because these are all his guys, he's not going to be looking to trade most of them. But on the other hand, Troy Weaver has shown himself to be unpredictable, cutting bait with Blake Griffin before a lot of people thought that was going to happen. And, yeah, so are those rumors, is there a lot to them? We're hearing Spencer Dinwiddie again a little bit more out there too. So is that a recircling of what's going on? Are other people using Troy Weaver's inexperience to, like you said, goose up some of their own trade negotiations that they have going on, and or is Troy kind of sitting in the grass just waiting to pounce on something? I think that that's an asset for the Pistons right now, that they have a general manager who has shown he's not afraid to do things, first of all, obviously, but he's also a little bit of a mystery around the league. And I think that that's a huge difference from the Ed Stefanski days and prior to that, Stan Van Gundy as well. I think that this is an asset, that the unpredictability of the Pistons and Troy Weaver could be something that they could use in their favor and maybe work the league and work the phones a little bit more than maybe we expect right now. But up next, we're going to talk about the Indiana Pacers. The Pistons are taking on one of their old school rivals on Wednesday, and Brother Brian has the details. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day.
Brother Brian here, and I hope you had fun all weekend in consuming all of that basketball from both the college and the pros, because BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing, and baseball's starting up here pretty soon as well. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
We've been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is the amazing, it's been a while, yes. Built Bar is the amazing low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. Now is the time to find out which bar is the best. It is Built Bar Madness. Today's matchup is one, this is like my son going and playing in an NCAA tournament game. I don't know that that's ever going to happen, but chocolate brownie chunk, which is, I just love that flavor. That's my guy going up against lemon almond cheesecake. Now, I have no issue with lemon almond cheesecake. In fact, I very much like lemon almond cheesecake, but chocolate brownie chunk is the bar that I'm getting behind in March. There, I just revealed it. That's my, it's not even a sleeper. It's just a powerhouse. It's a juggernaut. So I'm going with chocolate brownie chunk. There is no doubt in my mind about that. So that's my reveal, my spoiler alert right there. Go to builtbar.com or to bar_built on Twitter and make your vote known to the world. Remember to use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. That is LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at builtbar.com, and check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar. Get more analysis on the top prospects available in this year's NBA Draft with Locked On NBA Draft Podcast. Scouting reports, draft rumors, mock drafts, and full coverage of March Madness 4 days a week from credentialed draft experts. Subscribe today and follow Locked On NBA Draft. Brian, you brought it up here in the commercial break, but Cade Cunningham, after his loss late Sunday night to the Oregon State Beavers, Cade Cunningham, obviously he'll be heading to the NBA draft this year, 6-for-20 on the shooting night, rough tournament for him as he's 2 and out. He says, "I was always taught, shoot until the clip is empty." What do you think about that quote? What comes to mind when you think about that quote?
That sounds familiar. I think we've heard somebody use that exact same phrase here in Piston world. So I don't know if he's sending out signs to the universe and energy that he wants to come to Detroit and play for somebody else who empties the clip in Troy Weaver here in Detroit.
Good times as well, and enough for us to carry over some Twitter vibes to hopefully making that happen on lottery night coming up. Speaking of emptying the clip and shooting, how about Luke Kennard on Monday night, 119 to the 110, Clippers over the Hawks. Luke Kennard's stat line, played 18 minutes off the bench, 20 points scored, 8-for-8 from the field, 4-for-4 from three-point land, 7 rebounds. That's pretty productive 18 minutes for Luke Kennard. Just wanted to shot that out, saw that on Twitter tonight. But speaking of big games for Luke Kennard, his best game ever was the opener of last game's season at Indiana to play the Pacers. I think he dropped like 30 or 32, went crazy in the big win there. We've had these grand ideas of what Luke Kennard's career was going to look like in Detroit. That didn't happen, but the Pistons are back in Indiana on Wednesday. That will happen. What's going on in as if there wasn't enough going on in downtown Indianapolis, they're going to find a way to play some basketball there as the Pistons are in town on Wednesday.
Yeah, the Pistons are going to travel there between a couple of home games to try to improve on their 12-30 record, taking on the 19-23 Pacers, who currently sit in the 10th position in the Eastern Conference. So they're going to be the last team in that play-in, and they're 2.5 games ahead of the Raptors there. So them and the Bulls are fighting it off, tied for that 9th and 10th seed. The Pistons and the Pacers did square off back on February 11th in a game in Detroit. Indiana won 111-95. The Pacers are coming in on a little one-game losing streak, and oh boy, was it a loss last night to the Milwaukee Bucks, 140-113. And a lot of teams get blown out by the Bucks, but this was a kind of a different type of game because the Bucks were without Giannis Antetokounmpo. And truth be told, and for the whole story, the Indiana Pacers were also without Malcolm Brogdon, Miles Turner, and TJ Warren. So a lot of their key scorers didn't play. And, you know, we'll see if they're going to be back in time for the game Wednesday night. But this is a battle between, you know, two old foes. And, you know, Indiana probably has, well, I'm not the current players, but, you know, the franchise has taken a lot of lumps from the Pistons in some of their better days. So anytime the Pacers get a chance to beat up on the Pistons, you know that they're going to want to take a chance and take that chance and do that.
This will be the first chance for Pistons fans to watch Caris LeVert as a member of the Indiana Pacers. I think he was out for that game before, had the scary diagnosis after the trade, but he's back and he's playing, and he's playing well too. He had 19 points in that game against the Bucks and doing work. So good to see the Michigan former standout having some success with his new team as well, and obviously most importantly being healthy. And with those guys out, like Brian mentioned, Edmund Sumner of Country Day got some run as a starting player for the Indiana Pacers. They've also got Brian Bowen on the bench as well. He's a kind of a end of the roster kind of guy out of Saginaw. So a lot of local connections with the Indiana Pacers there, and a team that no one, you can't root for if you're a Pistons fan, the Indiana Pacers. But we'll see those old rivals up close. A couple of wins for the Pistons lately. 538.com wanted to pass along those projections. Currently have the Pistons at 24-48 to end the season. Third from last in the NBA with the Timberwolves and Rockets. Tied for last at 21 wins apiece. Pistons tied right now 12-30 with the Houston Rockets. Timberwolves 2.5 games back ahead. I don't know, however you want to call it, at 10-33. So those are the games to watch going forward. Of course, the Magic and the Cavs still lurking too. Seems like the Wizards got a little bit of separation from this group and have some ideas of finishing off the season strongly, getting into maybe that play-in game. So those are the teams to watch. Those are the teams to be worried about if you were on tank watch. But of course, this week, it's all about trade watch, and that's what we've got our eyes on today. If we got a show Wednesday, we'll be talking trades some more. Certainly back on Thursday, if big deals happen at any time, Brian and I will jump on as quickly as we possibly can to get some reaction, and then we'll wrap up the week with looking ahead to the college slate and also wrapping up the league in terms of what happens and doesn't happen at the trade deadline. Big names out there, Kyle Lowry among them. We'll see how this all goes down. Might be a little bit of a dud, too. There's teams that don't want to make deals because there's more buyers because you want to get into that play-in game possibly. So that's a new wrinkle that we'll see how kind of all works out league-wide. But that wraps up this edition of Locked On Pistons. I'm your host, Matt Shook. He is Brother Brian. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On NBA. Have a great day. We'll talk to you guys later.